When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kind of Funny Games Daily for Wednesday, April 24th, 2024. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside Forbes 30 Under 30, a.k.a. the New York Game Awards nominated, a.k.a. Leftover Poppy Blessing Eddie Oye Jr.
Had another soccer game last night.
How'd this go?
It was a loss. But
shocking. I'm shocked, everybody.
But after the game, somebody that was playing in the game afterwards came up to me and they were like, hey, like I'm a listener. I listen to the podcast.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, and it was really cool. And it was like in front of like my teammates who I had never spoken about what I do.
Yeah.
And so they're like, what's that? Like, this person's a fan of you? And I'm like, oh, yeah, I do a podcast. And then like afterwards went and got drinks. It was a fun time.
Nice.
Yeah.
With the, because now the teammates thought you were cool, or with the listener?
With the teammates.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it was the thing where like it just naturally, I think it was, you know, we've taken many a loss this season.
Lots of them. Have you had a win yet?
No. it's pretty
rough.
How
many weeks into the season are we?
This was our fifth game. Our first game was a tie.
Okay. Fair
our
enough.
First game
Fair
was
enough.
A tie.
Take it.
And honestly, moral victory. We should have won. The thing that's been keeping me positive about it, though, is that when you look at the rankings, we're actually not last in the season.
Oh.
The team that's last.
They didn't have the tie.
Is the team that got the tie with.
And fuck
so,
them.
Yeah, and I think they played one more game than we have.
Yeah.
And so, like, they're essentially on the same trajectory where
got
they're just
it.
Losing every week. And so
got
it's
it.
Like, cool, there's at least somebody else here, like another team here that is on our level. But also, the thing that, like, is bolstering my confidence with soccer and also, like, you know, still allowing me to have fun and enjoy it is that I think the problem that we have with our team is that we just don't get warmed up quick enough on the field, because it is always our first halves where
yeah.
we're getting scored on,
sure.
especially like early
now,
on.
Just stop you already.
Yeah.
Is it possible that the first team's just so tired from scoring on you in the first half, the second half they're like, oh,
they're
man,
like,
take it easy, calm down.
Like during halftime, they're like, we should calm down. Like we should stop scoring. That's entirely possible.
I listen to this guy's podcast. Can we please go easy on this?
Like they need a win. But no, in the second half, the way that we always come together in the second half, because last week it was the way I put it, we won the second half last week, where the first half they scored on us like four times. It was like 4-0. Second half, we scored on them once. They didn't get a goal on us.
Okay.
This time around, it was like 1-0 in the second half. Like they had scored on us one goal, but we were killing them for most of that second half in terms of chances, in terms
sure,
of shots.
Sure.
Like our chemistry was on point. Like they had good ball movement, all this stuff. And yeah, like I think we're getting there. We have good players. We have a pretty good squad. And, you know, getting beers last night, cool dudes, you know, cool group of people. We did like, we went to a bar that had trivia, but like we got there only during the last round.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
We're like, fuck it, like grab a thing. Let's do the last round of trivia. And we got most of the questions right. And it was like a good, like, ah, oh, fuck yeah.
We can win at things.
Yeah, yeah. We got a little drunk. It was like, yeah, let's fucking go. And so it's been a good time.
You talk about most of your team doesn't know what you do. Is Mike part of this? Is Cool Greg part of this anymore? What's happening there?
Mike's part of it. Cool Greg hops in sometimes.
Okay.
He's not been there for the second half of the season because we've just had too many people and he didn't pay. And so it's been the thing where early on we're like, oh yeah, come through, you'll be a sub, whatever.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It's just been, we've had the problem with not getting enough subs in.
Gotcha.
But yeah, Mike's there. And like Mike will introduce himself and like, you know, talk about it or whatever, but like not that much, you know. Like I think it's an escape from work. For me, it's like,
I didn't even mean it like you guys should be bragging. I
no,
just meant like Mike was left out of this story. I was like, was he there last
no,
night?
Yeah, no, he was there. But okay. Also, it's Mike. And so like Mike's there and then he's not there sometimes.
Yeah, 100%.
Last week we did a game where like our first half, he played as a goalkeeper. In second half, I was like, yeah, let me take over. I got this. And the rest of the game, I didn't see Mike. And then the game finishes. I'm like, where's Mike? He went and played with another team. Like halfway through, just leaves our game, plays another game with another team.
Do they need somebody real bad? Or
I guess.
Okay.
But it's also like, we have a game. Like, we're in the middle of a game. Like, why are you going and playing with these people? And so.
I'm sure he had Mike. A reason.
No.
No?
He
did, no?
He
just
did
just
not.
Went over there?
He did yeah, not.
That sounds like Mike. That sounds like Mike, ladies and gentlemen. Let's talk about the fact that for today, we have multiple review roundups. Stellar Blade's got some controversial art assets and more, because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on Twitch, YouTube, and of course, podcast services around the globe live we run you through the daily video game news need to know about. If you like that, support us with the Kinda Funny membership. $10 gets you each and every episode of the show ad-free. It gets you all of our shows ad-free. It gets you the ability to watch the afternoon podcast live as we record them. And of course, it gets you my daily multimedia experience, Greg Way, a audio and video podcast for your perusal. Of course, you could say, I don't need any of that garbage. But hey, wouldn't you like to support Kinda Funny, an independent 11-person business here in San Francisco? You understand that? You understand that? I was going to pull you in, but then we went wide, so then I'm just reaching at you for no reason. Because I thought you were there. You were helping me.
I like his reaction, though, was to pull away from you.
Well, I mean, I think, wouldn't that be everybody's? Wouldn't that be everybody's if Greg's going to come to do something?
One day he's going
to,
like, just come in the door and attack us, I can tell. I can see it in his
That's
eyes.
True. I've thought about it quite a bit. How I would do it.
Ben's,
you know,
by his side.
As soon as Ben's old enough to be my Robin, yeah. He's like pouncing off the walls and stuff. Of course, if you got no bucks to toss our way, no big deal. YouTube.com/kindoffunnygames. Podcast services around the globe each and every weekday. If you want to be a part of this show live as we record it, of course, you can use the YouTube super chat function, where you can write in, comment on our stories, give us your input, and of course, sometimes spawn new conversations. Lion of the Desert writes in today and says, I spoke to David Hayter at GameCon. He said the Metal Gear Solid film is dead again. He also said he's played Delta and is optimistic. He's a great person to chat with.
I got multiple questions. One, would David Hayter know if the movie's dead or not? Because he's not in the movie, right? Like, isn't it Oscar Isaac?
It's Oscar Isaac. Yeah, he's not in it. But I would imagine, like, if you're... I think if anybody would know, he'd be in that. And remember David Hayter, a Hollywood guy, too.
I guess that is
true. X-Men, too. You know what I mean? Did all this stuff. You know what I mean? So he's got, like, he's in the scene.
Yeah.
He knows what's going on. We were talking about this the other day on the show of, like, what's the status of that? You know what I mean? Jordan Vogt Roberts, Oscar Isaac, blah, 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 blah. So you got that going. He knows people. And I'd imagine, especially with as much as he worked with the Legacy Collection with Konami, right? He did videos with that for them. So that's how I bet he played Delta. And then even somebody there could have said something about it.
Yeah. Oh, that's good to hear.
VGC,
that
if you're watching and you want to cite us as we cite Lion of the Desert, go for it. Also, breaking news, Mellow Fellow in the super chat says, they released me early from jury duty. I'm happy to be here and finally free. Life's good. I appreciate y'all. We appreciate you. We appreciate you doing your civic duty and then them not needing you.
I like the idea that he was like, fuck, I really want to catch KHD.
Fuck, am I going to miss?
Yo, what's he's this? Guilty.
What's
he's guilty.
What's the Stellar Blade drop?
Like, get me out of here. Like throw me in prison.
They're like, all right, Jerry, get my news. We finished all the testimonies. You will now go back there. You just stand up. Yeah. He's guilty. I don't need it.
He did it.
It's 9:46 Pacific. I got to get out of here. I got to get out of here. Oh, my God. Anyways, that's how you can be part of the show as we go. Housekeeping for you. There are new episodes of PS I Love You XOXO and Gamescast up right now. And there are reviews of Stellar Blade on PS I Love You XOXO and Tales of Kinzera. And there's a Hades 2 impressions and Sandland impressions. And there's more game impressions. Topspin has a review on there. And then on top of that, we did another review for another game and it's escaping me.
Another Crab's Treasure.
Thank you. I was going to say there's more than that. There's so many on there. I tweeted it. There's a big tweet about all the games I put up. There's
Final
a lot
Fantasy
of games.
16 Rising Tide DLC.
There it is. Thank you. Yeah, you know what I mean? It's everybody put an embargo out in the past like 48 hours. So yeah, you could get PS I Love You today and Gamescast today. You'd hear reviews and impressions on Stellar Blade, Hades 2, Final Fantasy DLC, Another Crab's Treasure, Tales of Kinzera, Sandland, and Top Spin. Ladies and gentlemen, we're busting our ass out there. Go to fucking Patreon and get the membership, all right? Or YouTube.
I'm kind of curious. I won't spoil our Top Spin review. But it seemed okay. Like, the way that Mike described it, I was like, okay, this seems like a fine game. But I'm very much looking forward to this Challengers movie with Zendaya.
Oh, my God.
And so I'm like, I'm kind of in the mood for tennis. So now I'm like, do I pick up Topspin or do I play Wii Tennis?
I think, as somebody who's playing Topspin, I think you can pick up Topspin. I agree with Mike's review that it's like a hardcore tennis sim, right? It did make me play and go, man, I could go for a Hot Shots Tennis. I wish Clap Hands was making another Hot Shots Tennis right now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I would like that approachability of it. But it's there, and it's fun, and it's tennis. And I think you can get in and scratch the surface enough to enjoy it. I just think that if you wanted to really, like, get competitive with it and go... Like, back to what I talked about on the show, right? You? Fucking God class gamer. You know what I mean? S tier. And so it's like, you can drop into WWE and I'll still beat the shit out of you, but you're gonna give me a run. You know what I mean? I'm gonna win in the end.
I'll whoop your ass.
Anytime you want. Don't worry about it.
After this.
This one, that couldn't happen. If you jumped into somebody who knew Top Spin really well, you can't. You're just not gonna. You're gonna get caught.
And I'm like, that's my thing is I don't know if I'm in the space where I'm like, I want to learn a more complex tennis game. I think I just want simple tennis. Chat, let me know if you have any recommendations. I could go back to playing some Mario Tennis Aces because I did like Mario Tennis.
That's what I was putting in chat. Let's go back to Mario Tennis Plus.
But it was like that came and went so fast. Like I got bored of that game.
We could bring it back though.
It was fun for maybe it was like a solid 2 weeks.
Maybe they fixed the balancing with Bowser Jr.
That's the thing. Bowser Jr. was too broken.
Fucking broken. It's bullshit.
Let me say this: GTA 5 Tennis. That was, I did. I remember playing that with a friend one night, and we were like, "This is garbo. Like this is it is jank." It gets the job done, but not done enough to where I'm like, it's not going to fulfill my challenger's need. I need tennis, and I need...
What do you need for challengers?
Never mind. Yeah, also, exactly. I'll talk to you about that.
We'll see that movie soon enough. Don't worry about that. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Carl Jacobs, Kieran Hovis-Apien, and Delaney Twining. Today, we're brought to you by the Kinda Funny membership, but we'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is, and forever will be, the Roper Report. Time for some news. Five items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
We begin with the Stellar Blade review roundup. Of course, as I have said, P.S. I love you. XOXO is the one, the only blessing out of Yay Jr. joining me and Andy Cortez to give his review of Stellar Blade. Gave it a 4 out of 5.
Yep.
Very good score. A great score, some will say.
Yeah.
Let's see if the critics agree. Right now on Metacritic, why am I jumping to cricket every time now? Because it was a great bit.
You miss him.
I do miss him. He should come back. Metacritic, it has an 82. Open Critic, it has an 84. Over at IGN.com, Mitchell Saltzman says it's a 7 out of 10. Stellar Blade stands out as a gorgeous and well-crafted action game with very impressive strengths and very clear weaknesses. Both its story and characters lack substance, and some of its RPG elements are poorly implemented, like dull side quests that very often require you to retrace your steps through previous levels with very little done to make the return trip feel unique or rewarding. But its action picks up most of that slack thanks to the rock-solid fundamentals of its Sekiro-inspired combat system, a deep well of hideous monstrosities to sharpen your sword against, and plenty of hidden goodies that do a great job of incentivizing exploration throughout. The one, the only, Imran the Don Khan over at GameSpot gave it an 8 out of 10 and said, "There is a nagging question, though, that sticks in the back of my mind. Does this game rise to the heights its inspirers achieved? The conclusion I came to is no, but that it attempts so without falling on its face is remarkable enough. That it managed to be a great game in that pursuit is a true testament to the power of being galvanized by those that came before." And Stephen Mills at Destructoid also gave it an 8 out of 10 and wrote, "Overall, Stellar Blade is a journey worth experiencing. I feel like with some improvements in certain areas, Stellar Blade could be a legendary landmark experience like those it clearly draws inspiration from. But even in its current form, Stellar Blade offers a fast-paced action combat system in a unique world with a rewarding narrative. It's not quite stellar, but it's certainly solid. Solid Blade."
That's good writing.
I liked the turn of phrase, and then I loved. Let's just say it. Let's just put the pin in it.
Fucking Solid Blade.
Good job, Stephen Mills.
We got there.
I hope this video.
Other
gets
rioters
you.
Are cowards for not doing that. You know,
fucking cowards. I've been saying it years about Imran Khan.
Good scores. Good reviews.
Are they? Are you happy with them?
I mean, yeah. I mean, these. I would say these all line up with where I'm at. Right. Like, Mitchell giving it a 7 out of 10. Like, I'm like, I'm totally there. Like, even the 8s. Depending on what review scale you want to put, go at, right? I can see a 7.5 for this game. It's great. You know, I think in our review that we recorded yesterday, that one this morning, right? Like, for me, it was the fun thing of post review. Sometimes I get post review clarity.
Oh, sure. Yeah, of course.
Where I go back and I'm like, man, I wish I talked about this. Like, I wish I could clarify this more, because I find that, you know, in our review, sometimes I am like, almost trying to defend the 4 out of 5 and I'm giving it at the top of the episode,
sure.
Right? And I'm like, for Stellar Blade, I think a lot of the conversation is almost like more critique forward. It's almost more like, yeah, but like, man, it does this, like the story is a little bit bland, like the side stuff is, that doesn't really hit. Like there's this long list of things. And I think the reason why that is because so much of it is so good that you're like, oh,
the parts
man.
That aren't great stand out that much more.
Yeah. Like it stands out that much more. And you do like the, like backseat game developer and you're like, oh, but if you did this, this, and this, you got a masterpiece on your
and
hands.
And so that's where I want to jump into with some of this and pull in what you said on PS I Love You, pull in some of this stuff. Mm-hmm. And of course, folks watching live on YouTube, go to the YouTube Super Chats. Let us know your questions about Stellar Blade so we can get him in here for Blessing at AOA Jr., who has beaten it at, what, 29 hours?
27 hours.
27 hours? Still impressive, I remembered. I was pretty close.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, you're two off, but it's not exactly.
It's close. It's close.
4 out of 5.
Yeah, okay, fair. I'll take it. One of the things Imran puts in, right, is does this game rise to the heights its inspirers achieved? This is something you talked a lot about in your review, is that there's clearly the influence, right, of 2B here. Mm-hmm. You can see her. She's all over this thing. She's touched this, right?
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, this is the Nier Automata is very, like, heavily in this game.
Of course. And then what else would you say for people who didn't catch that are being pulled from?
Like, I would say Sekiro Shadows Die Twice. Mm-hmm. I would say there's some Liza P in here, but I don't know if that's purposeful.
Andy was big on that. Andy was pushing that
a
lot.
Yeah, like, I think it just happens to feel a lot like Liza P, but, like, Liza P only came out six months ago, so I don't think they were, like, looking at that game heavily. But, yeah, like, Sekiro, other Soul stuff as well, right? Like, it feels like such a happy medium between Nier in terms of vibe and, like, world and narrative setup and character design, but then Souls in terms of, like, bosses and difficulty of combat and even, like, how they pace out the camps where it is, all right, if you die, you're going all the way back to this camp, and so make sure that you're ready to, like, go about it this way. And even, like, heals and stuff like that, all of it feels Souls-inspired.
So I think you talk about that inspire, and Imran asked the question, does it rise and does it reach the, you know, heights that the other ones did? He says no, you say no, right?
Yeah.
And then I think it's an interesting one from Steven of, like, I feel with some improvements in a certain area, this could be legendary. One of the things we touched on yesterday that have been moved away from it is, do you think there's a Stellar Blade 2? Do you think Shift Up gets another shot at this?
I think so. I think both on a story and world level, they leave room for, okay, we could tell more story in this world if you want to tell more story in this world, right? Yeah, like, yeah. I could easily see them following up with more. I think on the reception level and will people want more, I think it is on the side of yes. Like, I think people will play Stellar Blade, finish Stellar Blade, and go, I can go for more of this. And I think that's where I get truly excited is, all right, I think where we leave off with the story by the time we get to the end ends up getting way more interesting than what most of the game was.
Okay.
Right? For me,
okay,
it is the first 60 to 70% of the game story where I'm like, all right, I do not care about anything going on here. I like the world, I guess. Like, I think it's interesting, but in the same ways that I'm like, cool, I like Nier Automata's world, right? Like, it is so much of that. In that last 30%, we get somewhere that is, okay, like, I can kind of see where you're going with here. Like, you had a shot here with the story, and, like, I see the vision. I don't think you fully got there in the end in terms of making it a all-encompassing great story, great narrative world that I'm fully invested in.
Yeah.
But there's something here by the time we get to the end that I thought was pretty interesting. And I think if you make a Stellar Blade 2, you get to start from that place and then build from there. And I can easily see Stellar Blade 2 being a game that is taking all the learnings from the first game, going, all right, we got something here in combat. Let's level this up more. Let's refine this. Now, what do people want from the story of Stellar Blade? What do people want from this world? How do we create... I mentioned in the review that there are some open world areas that you have in the game. How do we make those more interesting? How do we make the side content more interesting? Again,
doubling back to Mitchell, right? He's like, dull side quests very often require you to retrace your steps, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, and I think I'm not as damning on the side quests, but I do see where Mitchell's coming from there, and I do think that there's so much better you can do with the side quests, and so I could see them going for, all right, what are the side quests that worked? That was the one that I talked about during the review where it is like, you're helping out Little Robot Fella.
And you're love Little Robot Fella.
And in that, you're like solving these little like puzzle pieces in the area and like unlocking all this shit so you can like, you know, get him free. Cool. How do we double down on what makes that kind of gameplay interesting, and how can we make this like, you know, how do we make this the best of all worlds? I think the place where the game kind of falters and the place where the game loses itself is that it is trying to be a jack of all trades, master of none. And so you have the combat that is action-y, right? It's a bit fast paced, but also very obviously has its Soul/Sekiro influence there. Cool, let's do that. Let's also do open world side quests. Let's also have this narrative that feels like it's doing near. Let's also have like art design and art direction that almost feels a bit more Devil May Cry-ish, right? Like there's so much going on here, and I think it spreads them a bit thin in terms of where they're able to really go off. I think combat is probably the best part, but even there, I'm like, yeah, Stellar Blade 2, I could easily see where you take this in terms of making the dialing in the combat, giving us more dope boss battles that are more reminiscent of like the last, again, 40% of what we got out of the game, as opposed to a lot of like the stuff that, for me, the stuff that felt like I was easing into it, as opposed to like really enjoying it.
Interesting. Okay. Question from MadogNick96 in the YouTube super chat says, how well does the game run?
It runs phenomenally. Like, yeah, it's a very pretty looking game. There are moments where I love when games do the thing where they're like, hey, look at this view. And like you go and you look at it, and you're like, yeah, it's a pretty good looking view. Stellar Blade has some of those moments where I'm looking around, I'm like, it's a pretty good looking game. Like, I really like the environments. I think that is one thing that actually stuck out to me in this game versus something like Lies of P, where coming off of a game like Elden Ring a couple years ago, which feels crazy, it's already been 2 years since Elden Ring. But coming off of a game like Elden Ring, right? Like, that is a game where there are so many vistas, there's so much detail, there's so much like incredible art direction and art design, that if you play any Souls like a game that's like not from Software after that, it's so hard for me not to compare that, right? And so like in Lies of P, I am looking at a view and I'm like, yeah, it's fine. Like, this view is not hidden the way that the Elden Ring views are hidden, though. The Stellar Blade has some, I'm not gonna say it's Elden Ring level, but I was taken aback. I was like, yo, this is a very good looking game in environments. And I think the character design is where I could see them pushing it further. Like, the character design is very interesting because I think the characters themselves look sort of like bland, like anime. Like, anime is not even the right word for it, right? Because there's a lot of great anime shit, but like, there's something about it that is lacking in personality in terms of just the characters. But then you have their style, which makes up for it. Like, their clothing style, like the way they're dressed, like the way, like the cool way that Eve, the main character's sword, is like kind of this piece that's in her hair. And so when you bust out your sword, you're essentially like grabbing this thing out your hair and like fucking busting out the sword. It's cool. Yeah. Like, stuff like that, I think, works. But then there's just like a character design aspect. Like, the character models don't stick out to me in that way.
Sure.
So yeah, I could see them going a bit further with that in terms of visuals. But yeah, like, it runs great. I played on performance mode, it runs very smooth. Like, I didn't really have many issues with that.
This is one of those crazy ones for you. All right. Mm-hmm. This is just navel gazing before we go to the next story. But since we're talking about, and the reviews are talking about, hey, this is what it missed, this is where it could have been legendary, hopefully they get another shot at it, kind of thing. Do you think that an 82 on Metacritic, open critic of 84, is what PlayStation expected? Do you think this will sell as they expected? And do you think they would do Stellar Blade 2 as exclusive? Or do you think this is something you'd see everywhere?
I think 82 to 84, I think, is what PlayStation expects. I think coming from a third-party developer, like, I know it's a first-party game technically, but yeah, like, I think coming from a different studio, that is probably around what they expect. And honestly, I think this is pretty good for Solid, but I could have seen this coming in at a 3 out of 5, or coming in at like a 70 something, right? Yeah. Like, I think it was a stroke of one, like, good eye for a developer that before this was working on like a mobile title that was very popular, right? Like, hey, we're gonna make our first big AAA console game. Good eye for that, and like identifying this as like a thing that is actually quality. But, you know, I think on top of that, there is a market for this kind of game that I think a lot of people are still trying to tap. We've been seeing Lies of P, right? We've been seeing Lords of the Fallen came out last year. There was that game Mortal Shell that came out quite a few years ago, right? Like, a lot of people are trying to adapt with the way From Software kind of like just fucking change things in terms of what people expect out of an action game. And one of the things that I had written down in my notes that I didn't mention yesterday is that Stellar Blade, like, we've gotten so many Souls-likes, right, in the last however many years. Stellar Blade is, like, I would call it more of a Souls-lite in a way, right? Like, it very much is its own thing in terms of the kind of action it is. Like, I would never compare this to Dark Souls as directly, but there are those things that very heavily influence it that are Dark Souls-like in nature. And it is really, like, I think it is such a happy medium between those two things that I want to see more people explore. We've gotten games like Jedi Survivor.
Sure.
We've gotten games like God of War, like the modern ones, for example, that, again, have that kind of pace, have that kind of methodical nature to the combat to them. But Stellar Blade coming out as a new IP that is, again, more of a character action, but still is honing in on the soul stuff, I think is an interesting place for it to place itself. And I think it works really well. And I think there's so much more that you can do in that specific space. And I could easily see this game being super successful because people vibe with that specifically. Like you're getting that hypeness, that choreography, that like action of a Devil May Cry, right? Like that kind of style and attitude with the satisfaction of the boss fights with Souls thing. And for me, that is my perfect video game, right? Like that is a lane that I want to see more studios try and emulate. And yeah, like I think with that, one, I think they keep chasing this because I do think they see success with that. But then also, I think PlayStation sees the value in that. You know, like I think for the PlayStation audience, is the kind of audience that really fucks with this kind of game.
Yeah.
Coming off of, again, a God of War, or like plenty of games that are the third-person action, like narrative games that we talk about. I think this almost fits the vibe of you're getting that, but also this is something I could have seen Japan Studio publishing. Like sure. It kind of fits in that line of things. PlayStation, the PlayStation audience has been wanting more of and has been lacking a little bit since Japan Studio closed.
Okay. Well, let's move on to story number two and keep talking about Stellar Blade, but not positive news, but kind of positive, but not positive. Number two, Sony says Stellar Blade art referencing racist language was unintentional and will be patched out. This is Cat Bailey at IGN.com. Sony says it will remove Stellar Blade artwork that appears to reference racial slurs, claiming the phrase's inclusion was quote-unquote unintentional. The art, which appears to combine two visual elements into a single phrase, was discovered during the review process. In Stellar Blade, the R shop references Roxanne, who is one of the game's information brokers. The hard graffiti, meanwhile, can be found in numerous areas throughout the game. In a statement released to IGN, PlayStation said that developer Shift Up had no intention of creating offensive artwork, promising to remove it as part of Stellar Blade's day one patch. Quote, the placement of two graphics near each other in Stellar Blade resulted in an unintentional objectionable phrase, PlayStation statement read. Shift Up had no intention of creating offensive artwork and will be replacing the graffiti for the day one patch, end quote. While Shift Up is Stellar Blade's developer, Sony Interactive Entertainment is serving as its publisher. IGN has asked Sony if there are any plans to remove the art from the disc as well, and PlayStation's representative repeated that it should be removed for all users in the day one update, end quote. Barrett threw it up there. If you're an audio listener, if that was at all hard to follow, basically there's this graffiti that says hard, and then there's an R shop sign. They are put together at one point to say hard R.
Yeah. This is one that I think there are so many talking points here and like different ways you can go with it. Can I say
my favorite one from today?
Yeah.
Because we talked about this on PSLW as well. Andy brought up the fact that there's this one booby sign or whatever, which then made us all go like, well, my favorite take on this today, I saw that hard R was trending and it was Arthur Geist from Wirecutter. And Arthur Geist, right?
Well, I always read it Arthur Geese.
It is Geese. Thank you. I worked with Arthur for how many years? Why am I blanking on how to say his last name?
Yeah.
Arthur Geese. Sorry, Arthur, from Wirecutter. And his thing was like, do I think Stellar Blade was intentionally racist? No. Do I think that this is what Sony wanted trending on Stellar Blade's review day? No.
And I think for me, that's like the first thing where I'm like, how did this get to the end product? Like, you know, I understand the idea that Shift Up, Korean developer, culturally, like, are they aware of this? Like, was this purposeful? Yada, yada. Like, I don't think there's somebody that's sitting at Shift Up office that's like rubbing their hands, like doing the evil grin, like, yeah, we fucking got him. But this is a game that gets localized, right? Like, this is a game that is a PlayStation published thing. People at PlayStation played this game, right? Like, PlayStation has, what do they call it when they had to play a game?
Quality assurance, QA.
QA, but then there's
testers.
There's like a lot, like, when people submit a game, they submit it to get like
certified.
Yeah, there's certification. Stuff like that, right? Like, there's so many checks and balances in place to make sure something like this gets caught. Because guess what? And I mentioned this last year when I did the Black Hair video, right? So many games are made in Japan, right? But so many games are made internationally. However, these games come out to everybody, right? Like, Shift Up isn't making this game to only come out in Korea and have only Korean people play this game, right? This is a game that is being made for an audience worldwide and is being published by PlayStation worldwide. And so you got to have those checks for localization or whatever to make sure that, hey, like, we have this asset next to this other asset and it's making this, like, very offensive thing. Ah, shit. Like, okay, cool. Let's make sure that we're able to catch this in whatever check you have in place. I think even with all that stuff being missed, right? Like, I think these things happen. It's not hard. R is the interesting one because
can I just pull over to the shoulder for 1 second?
Yeah,
too?
Go for it.
I see the chat confused on this as well. Hard R has been misconstrued a few different times publicly. I think maybe even in the old days of Kind of Funny by Us, right? Where hard R in modern setting is the N word.
Yeah, okay. It's like this is the version of the N word with the hard R, right? Yeah, like that's like common usage. I've seen people like, try to
use it for film ratings, which like.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which I think you mentioned a video game person who got in trouble for this.
Oh, yeah, Jeff Grubb got.
I don't remember that. I don't remember that happening. I remember way back in the day on podcast. I want to say I probably used it once, saying hard R, and I meant to like if you were thrown around a derogatory for being mentally handicapped.
Oh, interesting.
And I think way back it used to mean that, but I think somewhere and the generational shifts, it became no. There's yeah. The soft
and like I the things I keep seeing thrown around are things like, you know, like, well, this is an American thing, or like things like that of, oh, this is such an isolated issue. And one, the thing I'll say to the American thing is like, my response immediately is like, is it an American thing or is it a black thing? And like, you don't understand it because you're not black and you're not in that sure. culture, right? Because I see that get misconstrued all the time with these types of issues. But then also on top of that, right, it's like, all right, cool. Like it's an easy fix. I think hard R is a weird one because we talk about the thing I've been referencing is the Deck Nine issue that we had a couple weeks ago where there was a story about Deck Nine and like all these issues within the Deck Nine studio. And one of the issues being that like there were people that were putting in these inappropriate art assets in the game that were these racist dog whistles, right? Like yeah. references to like Nazi type shit. And people in the studio were disturbed by that. And that is a known thing, right? Like, that is a thing that they knew and they had arguments about within the studio. Like, these are things that happen. Like, bad art assets make it into final builds. I don't think, like, hard R is one of those ones that is so specific and, like, kind of, like, non-offensive in a way. It's offensive if you meant to, like, do something there. But it's, like, at that point, just put in the N-word. Like, at that point, it's like, just go all the way. Hard R is like a weird thing that I don't think somebody would use in that way, especially when it is not like hidden. It is a fucking displayed out in like the mainline path of the game thing, right? Like, you're going to the R shop. You're going to the Roxanne shop to buy things and get the requests and stuff. So it's just a weird one. I think, you know, I'm happy they're patching it out. I'm having to figure it out. It sucks that the game's already gone gold, and so they probably can't take it out the discs. But yeah, like, it's messy all around in a way that I, like, my main thing here is, how did this happen? Is it really unintentional? Like, was there one guy who was either on localization or on the team or whatever that thought that this was a joke, or they try to mean something else, or they try to make some kind of, like, reference to a different thing, and they didn't mean what Hard R meant? Like, I think there are so many different ways that this could have happened that aren't, like, unintentional, and people just didn't catch it. But this is one that I don't know if we'll ever get the answer to, like, the actual story.
Yeah.
But how this made it into the final game.
I think best intentions, right, if you're going to give them, you know, benefit of the doubt, right, is exactly that. Mm-hmm. That it is, as you said, the hard art is tossed up throughout the thing. So it's tossed up, or right? Or am I misquoting?
Yeah, the word hard is all throughout the game.
So it's one of those things that I can see it being tossed up on a million different places, and number one, it becomes white noise to whoever's doing it. Mm. Number two, yeah, you're doing it. You don't know that this is a term for in America or whatever. Number three, you put it in there and other people are playing it, and even as a player, it becomes white noise because, again, I think it's not having the experience or not having the lens that you have, right? That this is something for you in your culture, right? Where it's like you're looking for it, where if I was playing, would I have caught it? Would I have been like, oh, wait a second? You know what I mean?
I mean, you definitely would have. Like, everybody during review, like, there comes a point you get to that place and you drop it in, like, a group chat and you're like, what the fuck? Like, it was interesting seeing.
Like, hey, I guess it was fun. Yeah, I'm a sicko. I want to see people react to this.
But, like, seeing people in real time get to it and be like, y'all seen this? And it's like, yeah, we've seen it. Like, it is so very blatant and obvious. But to what you're saying, and one thing I wanted to mention that I was forgetting as I was talking is that there's another argument for why you want to have diversity in a studio, right? Especially if it is like, I understand Shift Up is it's a Korean studio. Even on the localization side, right, you want to have people that are doing the translating, the people that are making sure that this is going to be good for all territories, you want to have diversity in those rooms, right? Like, you want to, this is like the strongest argument for something like DEI, right? Like, you want to have people that are there making sure that, oh, not only is this translated well, but culturally this makes sense for the territories that it's coming out in, and that it's not offensive to people groups that are in those areas. That is part of the job. You don't get a pass for that just because this game is being developed in a silo in a country that, like, doesn't understand that this is a thing that's offensive over here. It's like, no, that this is a AAA thing. It's coming from PlayStation.
Yeah.
You need to have those checks and balances to make sure that this is going to be good for everybody.
And again, you know, you double back to this response, right? This response seems totally reasonable. And I think this is where you get into, you know, if you really want to change the tide of this conversation and go crazy or whatever. But when people talk about, oh, cancel culture, oh my God, blah, mm-hmm. blah, blah, right? Like, cancel culture only exists when you want to put your feet down and be an asshole. When you don't want to listen to somebody else, you don't want to understand somebody else's side, right? You're just going to plant your feet and say, no, I'm right. Mm-hmm. And so the fact that PlayStation, you assume, shift up was like, again, best intentions or, you know, giving them benefit of the doubt. Oh, sorry, we fucked up. It'll be patched on day one. No big deal, right? This won't be a story in 3 months because shift up's not like, no. The freedom of speech. We're doing the thing. We said the thing, and this is what it's supposed to be.
Yeah, and of course, like, you know, there's nobody on the internet, no reviewer I've seen online that's like, Shift Up needs to close because of this. Like, nobody's like, oh, Shift Up should never make another game. People are just like, what the fuck? How'd this happen? And yeah, like, people reached out, IGN seemingly reached out to PlayStation, were like, hey, can we get a comment on this? Like, what's up with this? And PlayStation goes, oh, snap, we didn't know that was in the game. They go to Shift Up, and they're like, hey, what's up? And Shift Up goes, oh, my bad. Patches out. Yeah. It's all solved, right?
Yeah,
like,
right.
That's the thing. But for the conversations that are probably going to spawn from this of people getting mad that, oh, man, the hard art graffiti is gone. It's like, did you really need the hard art graffiti? Like, is that the thing that's going to, like, fucking ruin the video game for you?
Street Shadow gives us a super chat and says, something like this may not come up in certification unless it was a frequent thing that happened, EX. Example, if the store name was Hard R, I work in game publishing. Yeah, cert's always a bit of a black hole to me, of where I think personally sometimes the gaming press gives cert too much credit for what they're doing, where I think really, like, does the game work? Is it broken? Is it not this? But then other times it is that I know a game will fail because of something happened way down. So I don't even know.
I mean, we get like stories all the time of like, oh, this game had nudity, or this game, like, there are things that just don't align with what the either the rating is or what's appropriate for the PlayStation Store, yada yada. But like, again, this isn't a hidden thing. It's like a mainline thing that you see. I would think that somebody in that room would go, hey, what's up with this? Like, is this a thing we should be worried about? This seems very inappropriate. And then, like, action would be taken from there.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, you can get this show ad-free. You can get a Greg Way each and every day. And, of course, you can get all of our shows ad-free. And, of course, you can get the ability to watch us record the afternoon podcast live as we record them. But guess what? You're not using your Kinda Funny membership benefits on Patreon or YouTube right now. So here's a word from our sponsor.
Kinda Funny turns 9 years old today. We could have made it 9 days without your support. That's why 2024 is all about doubling down on our shows and making it simpler than ever for you to get the most out of our content. Our revamped Kinda Funny membership is your one-stop shop for all our amazing content, which now includes, on a weekly basis, the Kinda Funny podcast, In Review, the Kinda Funny Gamescast, P.S. I Love You XOXO, the Kinda Funny Xcast, the brand new series Kinda Funny Game Showdown. Five episodes of Kinda Funny Games Daily, and five exclusive Greg Way vlogs.
And 5 days of streaming fun with me and the gang here in our newly revamped streaming space. It's gonna be filled with a ton of laughter and a whole lot of shenanigans. We'll see you there.
That's more than 20 pieces of content a week from an 11-person independent team in San Francisco. That's a lot. And to get the most out of it, all we're asking for is $10. $10 gets you the Kinda Funny membership, and that entitles you to ad-free versions of the shows, the ability to watch the podcast live as we record them, and the exclusive access to my daily show, Greg Way. You can get your Kinda Funny membership on patreon.com/kindafunny or youtube.com/kindafunnygames. Yes, we are expanding our Kinda Funny membership offering to YouTube, so people can take full advantage of the platform they prefer. If you want to go above and beyond the Kinda Funny membership to support us, we will still have higher Patreon tiers, albeit with some changed up perks. We just wanted to make the message as clear as possible that the $10 Kinda Funny membership is for the masses to get all the core content people love. Everything above that is very appreciated. The support means the world to us. You all are the best. But the $10 Kinda Funny membership, available on both patreon.com/kindafunny and youtube.com/kindafunnygames, is where we see the value of what we do. Kinda Funny is a dream come true, and we wouldn't have it without you. We hope if you've ever enjoyed the content, you can support us for at least a month as we prepare for our biggest year ever. Until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.
And we're back. Greg left during the ad break, I think, to fill up his water. He just didn't make it back. He's dead. I can hear him out there having a conversation with Kevin. But before we move on to the next story, because I'll fucking move on without him. I don't care, all right? I don't care that he's my boss. I'll say whatever I want about him. Well, I didn't say shit. No, I'm talking about how much I love you as a boss. How's it going, Greg?
It's
Good, how are you?
Welcome back.
Sorry, Kevin caught me off guard out there. Kevin said, how's your day? And I was like, not good. I ran him through everything that's happening.
Well, what happened to your day?
Not for public consumption. It's not me. Everything's fine with me and Jen. Don't worry about that. Greg's coughed his last cough.
God.
For now, though. I got more coughs for you.
Bear has something to talk about.
Oh, right. Sorry. Watcher is good. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, Metacritic is back.
Gentlemen. call Solar Blade good, you coward. Cricket.
It's hard,
coward,
right?
It is kind
of way harder than you think it would be.
For it. You coward cricket, call Solar Blade good. What I want. I want to hear what
that. I appreciate that he went with
Watcher. I don't know if the cricket got a code for Solar Blade,
Yeah. Cricket's waiting to see how this graffiti controversy pans out. You know what I mean?
He's like, maybe the cricket won't touch
cricket's
that one.
Cricket's very opinionated.
Speaking of reviews, number 3 on the Roper Report, we have your review roundup for another Crab's Treasure. As of this writing, Metacritic says it's good. Metacritic says 79. Open Critic says 80. Travis Northup at IGN.com says 8 out of 10 and goes on to say, another Crab's Treasure is one of my favorite Souls-like in quite some time. It borrows a lot from the usual genre playbook, but adds a colorful, irresistibly charming and wholly unique veneer that makes it all feel brand spanking new. The story is well written and filled with memorable moments and characters. The shell swapping mechanic is unique and adorable as heck, and the unrelenting cheerful mood is like finding land after years adrift in an angsty sea of Bloodborne imitators. Its combat is in the deepest ocean around, and it has a bit of jank here and there. But another Crab's Treasure is so clever and wonderfully ridiculous that it's absolutely worth your time. Stephen Talby over at Push Square gave it a 7 out of 10 and wrote, another Crab's Treasure is a refreshingly different take on the Souls-like action RPG. Its more lighthearted presentation, stronger emphasis on story, and sense of humor doesn't take away from the genre's core, however. This is equally a stern, challenging adventure with fun combat to master and lots of secrets to discover. Unfortunately, it's let down by some frustrating technical troubles and occasionally janky moments. Despite its flaws, though, we came away having quite enjoyed the adventure. We can already feel the
Carsonization.
What is that?
It's a process that happens with... I'm just kidding. I don't know. I have no idea.
It's definitely... Oh, carsonization or something to do with the ocean. I don't know. Setting in.
Yeah. Can we get a look up, a Google search on carsonization?
While you do that, Barrett, even though we could easily do it, we will tell you, of course.
Not a real word.
Not a real word. Oh, my God. You hate to see it. We, of course, reviewed this over on the Kind of Funny Games cast. Andy has pumped 20 hours into it. He gave it a 4 out of 5 as well, I do believe, correct?
Carsonization consists essentially in a reduction of the abdomen of a God. How do you say that word?
Oh, you're going to ask Greg Miller? A reduction of the...
Macrurus?
Crustacean.
This is an R after the C.
Stephen Talby, you're too fucking smart.
Crustacean.
All right?
Together with a...
Stop trying to elevate games reviews. Bring it down like Greg used to.
Together with a depression and broadening issue with therapy of its cephalothorax. Sephiroth. So that the animal assumes the general body of a crab. I think it means when it gets a shell.
Gotcha.
Thank you.
That's my translation.
Yeah, Andy beat it at 20 hours and gave it a 4 out of 5 to answer your question, Greg.
Thank you. Andy has nothing but... Well, he had negative things to say, too, but obviously mostly positive to say on the Gamescast. Mm-hmm. You can get some questions in if you want. I've played a bit of it, and I will play more of it, which I think is something you never hear me say about Souls-like, right? I go on in the review to talk about it, you know what I mean? Of like, it is what... I would want out of a Souls-like in terms of what I've always said, right? It's not the challenge of a Souls-like that kills me. It's usually the dreary, dark...
You don't like art.
I hate art. Yeah. And I hate when it's all fucking rubbery and wet all the time. That seems what you fucks all want.
It is very wet in Bloodborne. Everything is unnecessarily wet.
And so getting into a necessary wet environment that is packed with humor and color, and again, like... The individual small battles on my way to the big boss battle feel so good, and I feel like I'm learning. Like, I really do enjoy that. I'm excited to see how it pans out. Andy was very positive on the shells having, you know, there's so many shells to pick up. It plays different than, he was saying, most Souls-like in terms of, like, it's more about blocking. They want you to block rather than parry, even though you can parry eventually. But it is there, you know, it's littered with shells, so you should be doing that. You should be playing it this way. I think I need to wrap my head around that, seeing as how I'm such a casual Souls player, even though those have infiltrated so many different genres or whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm excited to get back to it. And for me, as I put very plainly and clearly in the review, like, I'm excited to learn how to play better and be better at these types of games. And then also, when I am frustrated, have a bunch of outs. Because on top of the several difficulties they have accessibility options. You can, in the difficulty you've chosen, go in and bump around to, when I was frustrated with not even the difficulty of the boss battle I was on, the bullshit kit and caboodle stuff I had to do to get back into the boss battle when I died. That was what was killing me. Of drop back down, pick up my thing, pick up a shell, walk in, go through the cutscene, skip the cutscene. That, on the seventh attempt, I was like, all right, I don't want to do this anymore. Mm-hmm. And so the fact that I could just put a gun on my back and shoot the boss and move on, I was like, thank you, I appreciate this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Are you going to play this one? It's interesting that as a Souls fan, right? Yeah. I haven't heard you talk more about this one.
It never grabbed me, like, even from the previews. I think we did, like, the Summer Game Fest preview, like, gameplay of this game. Or not Summer Game Fest. Was it Summer Game Fest?
We did GDC.
GDC, that was GDC last year. Yeah, it was the GDC game showcase, and, like, we had him here and, like, played a bit of the game. It never felt like my kind of aesthetic, and I can't put my finger on why. I think it's the thing of, it gives the vibes of almost like a AA PS2 game, even though I know it's not, like, I don't want to, like, call it like Attack of the Power of Juju or shit like that, right? Like, I know it's not that, but just when I look at it, I almost get like Battle from Bikini Bottom vibes in a way that I know if I get my hands on it and actually play it, it's gonna play more Soulsy.
Yeah.
But yeah, something about its world just doesn't appeal to me in that way, and so I've never been drawn to it.
I think Krill's just such a cute, fun character, and I like his journey. I like the humor of the world that I just want to see that through. And I feel like, again, I'm not throwing shade. This isn't doing the character. This is just talking about why I feel like I'm not drawn to Souls thing. No. Never having that, unless you really want to dig and watch a Vati video and do this. Here's the narrative of what's happening. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Yeah, I do want to go do this, and I do want to go.
Yeah, it's also the thing of coming off of Stellar Blade as well. I'm kind of Souls'd out.
Yeah, you can only have so many of those.
Yeah, like, I need a break. You know, I feel like I got one in me every quarter or two. And yeah. So yeah, Liza P was my last one before this. Cool. I just got done with Stellar Blade. Next one, it's probably gonna be Elden Ring for me, the DLC that's coming out. And so yeah, I don't
know. Coming up quick,
what, June?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, 2 months.
Let's go.
I'm almost prepped, bless. I was hitting my head against the wall last night of the Elden Beast.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm gonna try to go to to Melania after that. But yeah, I'm in a similar boat. I didn't chime in for another Crab's Treasure yesterday. But I played a couple hours. I dropped off. There's just something about the gameplay that just didn't feel right to me, and that's kind of what kicked off my, well, now I'm gonna go play a game that does feel right, which is Elden Ring. But I will say, everything outside of the combat, like, I really dug the writing, the world. Just the overall vibe was really, really good. And it's surprisingly, like, way funnier than I was expecting it. Especially, like, right off the bat. I was like, okay, this is going to be a fun journey. But
There's a chat from OMGesus that said, let's go play a puzzle game. And I think that's where I'm at right now, where I'm like, I might be putting myself on video game sabbatical for a bit. You know, like, I find myself coming off of
powering down.
Yeah, I find myself being like, looking at my PlayStation console, and I'm like, do I want to play anything right now? Like, am I in the mood to even play video games? I feel like I've played so many video games in the first 3 months of this year that maybe I should take a little bit of a break. And I'm looking at the super fun game release calendar.
Oh, here we go.
That you can find on Twitter, twitter.com/blessingjr. And, you know, like, dude, April's got some games and May's got some games, right? Like, this month is kind of closing out with another Crab's Treasure, Sandland, and Stellar Blade, but then also this Sea of Thieves coming to PlayStation. But Sea of Thieves is not my thing.
Sure.
But then in May, it is Animal Well, which looks really cool, and Paper Trail, which also looks pretty cool, and then Sunua Saga, Hellblade 2. And I'm like, yeah, I can see myself maybe playing one or two of those and kind of like...
Keeping your feet up?
Yeah, like, you know, maybe I'll watch some TV, you know, listen to an album, go to the movies, watch this Challengers thing. I can't wait for Challengers. But yeah, like, I feel like I'm kind of like overgamed myself.
And
maybe
happens.
I just need a different genre or something. But I think that's part of why I'm like, another Crab's Treasure, I'm not jumping out my seat to go play it.
Sure, understandable. Yeah, it's interesting. I want to play more, but then for me, the problem is I look at it and I hear Andy say 20 hours. I'm like, yeah,
A long time.
Yeah, I've been kicking around one. I want to do a Hellblade replay before, or full play. I want to do, I keep thinking of Fallout. The patch comes out, right? The next gen patch. Yeah. It's like, do I want to do New Vegas instead? Like, there's so many things going that I feel like another cab I'll come back to. But hopefully I play it tonight and it gets its claws back in me. And I find out that I have a carcinogen on my back.
Oh, what a Macarus word to use there.
Number four on the Roper Report. 2K faces community backlash after banning leading WWE 2K24 creator. This is the one, the only, Jordan Midler at VGC. 2K is facing a community backlash following its decision to ban a popular WWE 2K24 creator. On April 22nd, What's the Status, a creator known for uploading content that is usually inaccessible to players, took to X, I hate that, don't do that, Jordan, Twitter, to announce that all of his uploads, which amounted to dozens of wrestlers and other content, have been removed from the game without warning. The following day, he claimed he'd been permanently banned from playing the game online, thus losing all access to its community creation features with no option to appeal. Quote, "We were recently alerted that this account has been associated with inappropriate content. Read a message allegedly displayed to What's the Status when he logged into the game. This is a violation of our end user license agreement, which every player accepts prior to accessing WWE 2K24 online features," end quote. Asked for clarification on the ban, a 2K spokesperson told VGC, quote, "The player in question has received an indefinite ban due to violation of terms. Mods, which negatively impact the game experience for other players, violate our terms. Our primary concern is a positive WWE 2K24 experience for all players," end quote. It's not clear exactly which content was deemed to have violated 2K's terms, but What's the Status is known for uploading content that is usually inaccessible to players, such as hidden models of certain wrestlers or characters that appear in the game but aren't playable, such as in-game commentators. Notably, in WWE 2K24, he uploaded versions of every female wrestler in the game, enabling them to wrestle against male wrestlers, something the standard game doesn't allow. Due to his reputation for uploading content, What's the Status developed a large following in the WWE games community. Following his ban, many players have expressed anger at 2K.
There's like a lot more to the story. You go to VGC and click the full thing. I didn't include the whole thing.
Yeah, the one thing I think that like I had read yesterday that I thought might be what people would jump to is that he said in his thing he didn't upload Vince McMahon. Like, Vince obviously is in some of the showcase stuff, but he's not in the game playable because of obviously all the horrible shit alleged about him. Yeah. And he's going to court over. He was like, "I didn't upload Vince," so it's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is a weird one. Like, I've not kept up with like the creator community in the WWE.
I mean, I'll be honest with you, there's no way to. Because it's that thing where I'm the WWE 2K guy, right? But like, I'm not the creator guy. Like, I follow a bunch of creators. That's how I saw this news yesterday, is that they were sharing it, they were doing it. I'm trying to scroll back because when I opened up Twitter just to glance at it, some other creator that is a WWE person that I must have been either somebody I follow or was, you know, floated through it, was retweeted in my feed saying I've been banned as well. So it's like they're clearly cracking down on something. What is, yeah, here it goes. I follow a creator named Jenna_Sting. They do a bunch of creations that I loved in 23 and yada, yada, yada. They're showcasing Marty M, who I don't know any about, but it says, "It's a sad day, y'all. Unfortunately, my creations have now been taken down by WWE Games as well. I'm not sure what to do at this point. Doing this for y'all is my escape and helps a lot with my mental health, and I just don't understand what they get for doing this." So clearly, but WWE like, and 2K are cracking something down.
I'm so curious on the full story. Because like, I think from the outside looking in, it looks bad on 2K's perspective, right? Like, it was like, why are you banning these people that put out a lot of great creations that a lot of people look to and use and stuff? But like, I feel like for anybody that's been a mod or has had like some kind of community management role, like everybody's hit the scenario where you ban somebody that a lot of people liked. But like, when you know the full story, it's like, but they did some fucked up shit, or like they broke the rules and they knew they shouldn't have broken the rules.
See, again, I know shit about all of this. Mm-hmm. My outside looking in thing on just Jordan's reporting, right, would be like, I don't think they did fucked up shit on their uploading here as a cack. Yeah. I think it's more of like, I don't understand PC players, period. I don't understand hacking. Mm-hmm. But you're going in and getting these things that weren't meant to be put in the game for a specific reason of the female wrestlers or the commentators or whatever, which there must be some in the EULA don't go into our source files or what. I don't, you know what I mean? I would imagine that's what it is. I would imagine it's that thing. I'm just like,
it'd be like some copyright, your copyright stuff.
I doubt it's copyright as much as like, yo, stop going through our shit. Like, if somebody made a joke over there, you know, hey, is Olive Party next? Like, Olive Party makes a bunch of great creations. So does Lighter. Obviously, there's a million people making amazing kind of funny creations and their own creations in WWE. But I think if you're just creating from scratch, you're fine. I think it's the going in and stealing thing or modding or whatever the term is that's actually accurate.
Well, stay safe out there.
Stay safe out there, Olive Party and Lighter. All right? We can't lose you guys. But you know what I can lose? All these big stories. I'm sick of the big news.
So big.
I wanted the littlest news. Say the tiniest news I needed to know about. Where would I go?
You'd go to our last story, the Wii News Channel, where we cover all the small news items you need to know about.
Number 5, the Wii News. From The Verge, Apple is reportedly cutting its Vision Pro headset shipment forecast for the rest of the year due to cooling on demand.
Cooling on demand?
due to cooling demand. It works the other way too. It sounds funny because you're thinking like, cool it, AC.
No, I'm thinking of on demand, like TV.
It worked. Anyways, you surprised?
A little bit, just because it's like you're charging $10 million for these things. Like, of course, you're charging a lot of money for these things. Like, of course, you're not going to sell. Surely you're underproducing these, right? Like, I don't think that they're already not producing enough to sell them, so they can just sell them out. But yeah, like, that seems fine. I'm curious on, by the time we get around to it and they can like look back and assess what the overall success is, do we get a Vision Pro 2?
That was the other thing from The Verge's thing is like, oh man, they're also rethinking what happens from here.
Yeah.
And that's more interesting. I think so many people are like, yeah, no shit. And like so many who tweets this are like, yeah, no shit. It's like, I expect this from Google. Yeah. I expect this from PlayStation. Apple, I thought, was like, we understand what market we're launching into. We understand this is going to be an uphill battle. We are going to make these things less. We're going to make fewer of them, sell them, and then wave 2, wave 3, wave 4 will be the ones that are people actually flocking to buy.
Yeah.
Donna, that's surprising to me.
I kind of hope we get more. Like, I would love to see the
dude, as soon as they get, I mean, not as soon as, when they get down to being glasses, I'm in.
Yeah.
And that's what I want.
Yeah. Have you seen Gary Whitta's like Meta glasses?
Yeah, I haven't seen him in person, but I've seen his Ray-Bans. Yeah,
yeah. Like he was on the show with me. We were talking about it. I'm like, dude, this sounds kind of cool. I kind of want.
From VGC, Blizzard is currently recruiting a dozen members of the staff to work on an unannounced game. The open positions include 6 director roles, including creative director and narrative director. We got a Sandland mini review roundup for you. This, of course, is also reviewed and talked about with me and Barrett on the Kinda Funny Games cast today. But Metacritic has it at 72. Open Critic has it at 75. Michael Heim over at IGN gave a 6 out of 10 and says, Sandland's vehicular focus shows potential, but devolves into a by-the-numbers open-world action game with storytelling that only occasionally manages to live up to the joys of the original work.
Fair.
Sounds spot on with where me and Barrett were on Gamescast, And because, a charming little game.
And because we're not familiar with either the manga or anime, I feel like we're a bit slightly higher on it, but completely fair.
Then your other one here. 1 million people played Fallout 76 in one day. Fallout tweets, thank you to the over 1 million of you who adventured with us in Fallout 76 in a single day.
Whoa.
We're missing out, man.
1 million people being disappointed. That's crazy. I'm sorry, that's mean.
You got him.
That's mean.
You got him.
Have fun out there.
Gory Cuddly Carnage launches August 29th on Xbox One, Xbox Series X, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, and PC. And then
this game looks rad.
Gory?
Gory, yeah.
Can I see a trailer for Gory Cuddly
like
Carnage?
A cat on a skateboard. Sick.
And then Iggy's Wrecking Balls and Extreme G for N64 is out today on Switch Online.
Have you ever heard of Iggy's Wrecking Balls?
No,
I thought I knew every N64 game. And then they've gotten to the point with N64 Online that they're inventing games the way that they invent them for NES and SNES.
They're inventing games before they put more relevant games on there.
Iggy's Wrecking Balls.
Where is Donkey Kong 64?
I was looking at the gameplay for Iggy's Wrecking Balls and I was like, game seems kind of rad. I might have to check out Iggy's. This Iggy's game looks cool. And also, Extreme G fucking rocks.
Here's fucking Gory Cuddly Carnage. Fucking bullshit.
Oh, I wasn't expecting to look like this.
Yeah, like a stylized action game. You're like a cat on a hoverboard that's doing spins and taking out enemies.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've been looking forward to this game for a solid 5 months so far.
It's a hellscape, but you're a cat.
Yeah, and you're going to grind
him too.
Around.
He's wanted, yeah.
Hey, look at this little guy.
He's just doing the damn thing.
Tearing shit up. This is what I wanted from Stray. You know?
Fuck up.
I want not skate. Enough hoverboards.
I want skate.
Where is skate? It's been in
SGF,
in,
maybe?
In, it has been in like a public alpha for like 5 years. Let's put out the final game. Let me play it.
Let's close out some super chats before we end the show for you. CJ Splitson wrote in and said, it's interesting that Ghost of Tsushima and Stellar Blade have the same score on Metacritic, 82. This feels like a game like Ghost of Tsushima and Lies of P that audience will like more than critics. Oh, I see what you're saying. He's saying Stellar Blade is going to be more popular with people than it is with the audience.
Why do people feel like 82 is like, whoa? I feel like 82 is a really good score.
It is.
And I feel like when you ask the audience, by the time people get, if you were to poll people accurately, I feel like people would come down on the same kind of thing of, yeah, like 82% of people fucking love this game. Or like however you want to quantify it.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, I hear,
I know,
I
it's not like that, but.
We're just raised in a thing where it's like, 7 is the start of, yeah, like, this game is even worth you reading the fucking review. Mm-hmm. And then 8's like, well, this is the start where you have to play.
Like, 7 is still a spit in the face, though.
Yeah, no, 8 is like, if you're a fan of the genre, you should play it. And yeah, then it's like, 9's like, you gotta fucking play this thing.
Yeah.
We've just been spoiled with so many great games lately.
Yeah, I think Stellar Blade, I think there's something there, right? Reviewing Stellar Blade for me was interesting because for me, when I'm reviewing a game, I almost have multiple reviews going on in my head where I'm like, all right, how does this stand up as a game?
Yeah.
Then there's also, how does this stand up as a story? And then there's also, how does this stand up as a work of art? How does it stand up as a piece of technology that has to run well and do all these things?
Yeah,
and
yeah,
I think,
yeah,
balancing all those things, I think, lands on a critical scale differently from, I don't know, Joe Schmo, who walks into a GameStop and goes, I want something that's going to be fun. And they pick up Stellar Blade, play it, and they're like, that was really fun.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's, like,
exactly,
that's,
yeah,
you come off from that, and that's how you feel about it. It's the way that I think back to what was it called? Jet Force Gemini.
Yeah.
So fondly. It's one of my favorite games ever. If I was to review it as a critic, probably be like a 6 or 7 out of 10.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
I fucking, as a kid that played it and was just looking for fun out of a video game, I fucking adored it. And I think those things are fine to coexist.
Goddamn right they are, boss.
Yeah.
And then Hard to Find is a member for 17 months. Thank you so much. And says, I hate that Greg has this cough, but what if it's like Joker's laugh and Joker?
Oh God!
Is that what he means? I don't even know what he means, really.
Yeah, did he have a coffee laugh in Joker?
No, he didn't.
Oh, I see. He had like the weird little control laugh.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Like, yeah, you can't control the cough.
But maybe this is like slowly turning into your villain kind of thing.
Real quick, don't cut. Look how good I am. Look how good I look.
You look good. Yeah.
Fucking hell yeah!
I also,
yeah,
don't want us to create a Greg Joker bit because it will go.
I mean,
there.
You already live it.
It
you
will
live
go
it every
all
day.
The way.
Like, that's why you flinch when I come at you.
I don't flinch.
We ask people watching live at Kinda Funny, watching Kinda Funny Games Daily, to keep us honest by going to the one, the only, kindoffunny.com/. You're wrong. Oh God. No, I'm not going to care more about with the carcinization. Bradley O says, did y'all cover the Fallout user news? 5 million for users for all Fallout.
Oh, that's cool.
Congratulations, Fallout. The show was a hit.
4 million people not disappointed.
I mean, you're going to tell me they started Fallout 4 and it wasn't like, another settlement needs your fuck. You gotta build this fucking trailer over here.
It's a great game.
It is.
It had some flaws. Fuck. What was that dude's name that always call you about the settlement?
Preston
Garvey.
That sounds right.
Yeah. Sure.
How many
annoying
people are playing 3? Because add that to the disappointment.
No, 3 was great. Get the fuck out of here.
What?
3 is my favorite.
Go play Persona again, you dork.
Greg, idiot. Better than fucking Fallout 3.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily for your Wednesday. Of course, remember, the content doesn't stop here. They're streaming some video games over there. I assume Pokemon. I didn't even look at the calendar. They're obsessed with this Nuzlocke run. They can't be stopped over there. Of course, we'll be back tomorrow with more of the news you need to know about. Remember, you can get all of our stuff with the Kinda Funny membership. Get it ad-free. Get all of our shows ad-free. Get the ability to watch the afternoon podcast live as you record them. And get your daily exclusive Greg Way vlog only with your Kinda Funny membership. No bucks toss our way, no big deal. Like, subscribe, share, ring the bell, tell your friends, follow for more, and of course, star rate and do it. I don't even know. Roll down the window, scream at your friends. Do you still do classifieds in the newspaper? Fucking take out a classified.
Get another billboard.
We should get another billboard, actually.
That was cool.
Yeah, it was really cool. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.